I'm Marty Moscoen. Welcome to Radio Times. President Obama and Governor Romney were interviewed this week on Univision, the Spanish-language TV network, at a forum at the University of Miami in delegate-rich Florida, a swing state this election season. Romney was interviewed on Wednesday night and was asked about a policy he had touted in the Republican primary.
What would you tell Hispanic voters right now if they actually are very interested in this important issue and all the dreamers that want to know if you become president, are you going to deport them or not?
Well, we're not.
Yes or no?
We're not going to round up people around the country and deport them. That's not. I said during my primary campaign, time and again, we're not going to round up 12 million people. That includes the kids and the parents and have everyone deported. Our system isn't to deport people. We need to provide a long-term solution. And I've described the fact that I would be in support of a program that said that people who served in our military could be permanent residents of the United States.
Obama faced questions yesterday and was reminded by one of the co-hosts that he had promised to reform immigration in his first year in office.
What I confess I did not expect, and so I'm happy to take responsibility for being naive here, is that Republicans who had previously supported comprehensive immigration reform suddenly would walk away.
A promise is a promise, and with all due respect, but you didn't keep that promise.
Well, here's what I would say, Jorge, is that, and we've had this conversation before, there's the thinking that the president is somebody who is all-powerful and can get everything done. We have to have cooperation from all these sources in order to get something done.
Well, today on Radio Times, we deconstruct the Latino vote. And joining us is Ali Valenzuela. He's an assistant professor of politics and Latino studies at Princeton University. Joins us from the studios of Princeton. And Ali, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Hi, Marty. Good to be with you this morning.
Nice to have you with us. I know you watched both of those forums. How would you say the candidates did?
Well, I don't think we learned any new details from either candidate, which is not much of a problem for Obama since he's been pretty clear about his policy commitments both on immigration reform, comprehensive immigration reform, as well as the DREAM Act, and, of course, his deferred action program. But Romney, of course, has been criticized on all sorts of policies for not providing details, and he continued to not provide assurances to the Latino community about his commitment to particular policy positions. In particular, he gave no assurances that he would continue President Obama's deferred action program if he became if he were to win the presidency.
We heard that clip where, and during the Republican primary, Romney, talked a lot about this idea of self-deportation, the idea that, I guess, you would make life so difficult for undocumented immigrants that they would leave the country. And it's hard to know how he was answering that listening to the forums this week.
Well, he did not walk away from that position. And as you yourself know, The reality of self-deportation is that this would be encouraged by harsh enforcement policies, policies that mimic the law that was passed in Arizona, for example. You know, Romney has, as one of his advisors on immigration, Chris Kobach, who was the architect of the Arizona policy. And Romney was even asked about whether he continues to believe that the Arizona policy is a model for the nation. And he did not deny that that proposition.
It's interesting that immigration and deportation having so much attention at these forums. Does that tell us something about, and I know we're speaking about a broad and diverse group of people, but speak to the issue of concern to Latino voters?
Sure. Of course, the Latino community is very diverse, and certainly some subgroups are less concerned about the immigration issue than other Latino subgroups. That's absolutely true. However, if you look at polls, immigration and the DREAM Act is very consistently the second most important issue that Latino voters identify as their primary concern, just behind jobs and the economy. And I should also say that this is also an issue that hits close to home for many of these Latinos, not even just immigrant Latinos, but of course second, third generation who, you know, remember clearly their ancestors and other family members or friends and relatives who have gone through a similar immigration process.
Going back a couple of weeks and even looking at the Republican National Convention, the Democratic National Convention, there were two governors and a senator with high-profile positions at the Republican Convention, two mayors that spoke at the Democratic Convention. Does that tell us something about how the parties are looking at the Latino vote?
I think it does. I think it signals the recognition by both parties, frankly, that this is a population that they can't ignore. Certainly, there are questions about whether the Latino vote will make a huge impact nationally in this particular election. But there's lots of evidence that in particular states such as Nevada, Colorado, Florida, North Carolina, this vote is very important and could help decide those states. But I also want to highlight the fact that this is a continuously growing population, right? So in elections into the future, they're going to keep playing an important role, and the parties are beginning to recognize this, right? And the Republicans up to now have painted themselves into a policy corner with this group. Research consistently shows that while immigration is an important issue and partisanship is a big determinant of who Latinos will support, the positions that the parties espouse are also a big motivator for their vote.
I'm going to pick up on that, but I want you to, in a sense, deconstruct the Latino vote. We are not talking about a monolithic vote here. We're talking about a diverse population. Help us understand what that diversity looks like and how you think that is playing out politically.
Well, the biggest subgroup, I suppose, or the biggest difference within the Latino population is, of course, between Cubans and non-Cubans, right? But research is also showing I should say that Cubans historically have been much more supportive of conservative and Republican positions and candidates. Now, research is showing that some of this may be changing, right, with new second and third generation Cubans who have spent time in the United States. They're not quite as conservative as their immigrant forebears.
Which maybe isn't surprising, right?
Well, it might be surprising, but if we think about some of the policies that the Latino community and frankly most Americans think are important, right, such as jobs in the economy, healthcare, education, right, these are issues that historically the Democratic Party has done better among these subgroups. So it's not too surprising to me that we're seeing younger generation of voters moving towards the Democrats.
But that seems to also reflect, speaking broadly about younger generations of voters in this country, or the 20 and 30-year-olds tend to have, I would say, more liberal ideas about social policies.
That's right. That occurred to me just as soon as I was talking about that. Definitely for this group, the positions that the Democratic Party, that Obama has pursued in terms of repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell and support now for gay marriage, these are issues that young people are solidly behind. And so as young Cubans, as young other Latino persons come of age, they are going to look at the parties and see what specific positions are espousing. And as of now, the Democratic Party is appealing to these voters in a more effective way.
We were talking about the Cubans, and you also mentioned the non-Cubans, and I'm assuming that includes people from a variety of different countries. Help us understand that group.
That's right. Sure. So Puerto Ricans, for example, are typically not as concerned about immigration as Mexican origin Latinos are. So Mexican origin Latinos are perhaps the most democratic of Latino subgroups, and immigration reform is a huge concern for this group. Puerto Ricans, of course, don't face they're American citizens, right? And so they don't face this issue. So it's not a salient one for them. Although, majorities do support comprehensive immigration reform. It's just simply not as important for them, for that subgroup, as it is for other Latino subgroups.
We heard the president being pressed, and he was pressed pretty hard on this deportation that has happened under the Obama administration. And I was reading something like 1.5 million undocumented immigrants sent back or I guess booted out of the country. How does this play among Latinos?
It doesn't play very well. The Latino community, Latino voters, have all expressed very strong feelings against the stepped-up border enforcement and increased deportations that have occurred under President Obama. And, you know, I've seen data. I've run data analysis showing that there is a strong link between declining support for the president and declining enthusiasm to go out to vote and identifying immigration reform as the most important issue, right? So it's suggestive that these actions that the president has pursued is, in fact, dampening support among the Latino vote. Now, I also want to point out that President Obama and the Democrats have been seriously helped by very conservative and far-right positions that the Republicans and, in particular, Mitt Romney espoused during the primaries, right? So they haven't done any favors to themselves in terms of trying to attract the Latino vote on this particular issue, even though Obama seemed to have created an opening for them.
Going back a couple of months, though, it looks like the Obama administration has softened this policy on deportation.
That's right. That's right. And certainly that was well received by the Latino community. I think there's some concern about the temporary nature of that action, as Mitt Romney tried to criticize Obama for in the forum two nights ago. But it is a move that resonates with the Latino community, and you know it. The DREAM Act, right, which would be the official or legal version of President Obama's administrative action, is supported by huge margins among the Latino community and also supported just among Americans in general.
Going back to the Republican primary, and Mitt Romney did talk about self-deportation, but some of the other candidates and some of their supporters, you know, talked about alligators, you know, along the border, double fencing. Just how much of that kind of language has hurt the Republican Party this year, do you think?
You know, it's hard to say exactly, but I think that kind of language, language of illegal immigration, of illegal aliens that Mitt Romney was using just on Monday at the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce in Los Angeles, all of these words and terms, they signal a certain level of support or lack of support in this case, lack of sensitivity for a community that for whom, again, this issue is very close to home, right? It's one that not just impacts them personally, but impacts friends and families as well. And so, you know, to not have even the sensitivity to use particular kinds of language, I think, demonstrates to Latino voters the lack of interest, the lack of commitment on the part of the Republican Party to pursue policies that would benefit the community.
Well, let's take a very short break. We'll get back to our conversation. We are talking about, broadly speaking, about the Latino vote, Latino voters, and talking with Ali Valenzuela. He's an assistant professor of politics and Latino studies at Princeton University. And we would love to hear from you as well, especially if you are Latino. Give us a call, 1-888-477-9499. What are the issues you care about? Who are the candidates that appeal to you? 1-888-477-WHYY. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Einstein Medical Center Montgomery supports WHYY, opening late September in East Norriton. Einstein Medical Center Montgomery offers quiet, all-private rooms designed for patients' comfort and safety. Other features include a 24-hour emergency department staffed by board-certified physicians, cardiothoracic surgery, cancer care, orthopedic care, robotic and bariatric surgery, and a maternity unit equipped with a Level 3 neonatal intensive care unit. More information at 1-800-EINSTEIN or einsteinmontgomery.com.
I'm Mike and Scott. Listener support is vital to WHYY, and we'll be asking for yours during our upcoming membership campaign. But the October buyback is your chance to help give us a head start. Make a pledge during our October buyback, and for every 750 donations we receive, you'll buy back one day. This means one less day of pledge and one more day of news without membership breaks. Do your part at whyy.org/support. Thank you.
I'm Jesse Thorne. This guy Wayne White put on a pretty crazy puppet show in his art history class.
Puppets were beheaded and spewed blood. We threw bowls of Cheerios and milk at the audience. We set fire to the stage. This was 77. Punk rock was exploding. I couldn't play a guitar, so I picked up a puppet.
He ended up making puppets for Pee-wee's Playhouse. Wayne White, this week on Bullseye from PRI.
Tonight at 9 on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoen. This week, President Obama and Governor Romney got the opportunity to address Latino voters and make their case at a Meet the Candidates forum in Miami carried on the Spanish-language TV network Univision. Romney also spoke this week at the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce convention, but a poll released on Monday shows that Hispanic voters favor Obama over Romney by a wide margin. We're talking about all of this with Ali Valenzuela, Assistant Professor of Politics and Latino Studies at Princeton University. And joining us now is Gabriel Sanchez. He's Associate Professor in Political Science at the University of New Mexico, also Director of Research for Latino Decisions. That's a leading survey firm focused on the Latino population. And Gabriel Sanchez, nice to have you with us on Radio Times as well.
Good morning, Marty. Good morning, Ali. Nice to talk with you both.
Nice to have you with us. And we have calls coming in at 1-888-477-9499. Gabriel, just a couple of questions looking at your poll. What do you explain to this? What do you think explains this wide margin of Obama over Romney when it comes to Latino voters?
Yeah, I mean, so the polling numbers in the last week, we're basically doing a weekly tracker poll. So every week we survey about 400 Latino registered voters. And this last week's data shows the widest gap between Obama and Romney, basically a 68-26% advantage for Obama. And I think what you're starting to see is after the conventions, you know, both folks got a little bit of a bump. Obama got a much larger bump among Latino voters, and things are starting to settle in. And I think that on most indicators that are important to Latino voters, the economy, immigration, education, health care, on all those different indicators, Latinos just trust him to do a better job pushing those policies than they do with Romney and the Republicans right now. So I think it's not, driven specifically by immigration. That's obviously a big part of the discussion. But I think across a range of issues, Latinos just feel a little bit more comfortable with Obama and the Democrats right now.
But do you think it's something that Obama and the Democrats have said or done, or something that Romney and the Republicans have said or done?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. I think the change in deportation policy, kind of the quasi-Dream Act announcement from the president, definitely helped. It said signals to Latino voters that he's still serious about immigration. But I think there's also just a lot of missteps by Romney and Republicans, particularly in the context of immigration, that is hard to forget if you're a Latino voter out there. So I think it's probably more to do with what Romney and the Republicans either are doing or not doing than really what Obama is really changing his outreach or his messaging to Latinos.
Let me go back to you, Ali, but Gabriel, I'd like to hear from you as well. I was doing, you know, my homework for today's show, going back, looking at Latino vote for Nixon, Ronald Reagan, George Herbert Walker Bush, George Walker Bush. About 30% of Latinos voted for those Republican presidents or Republican candidates. George Walker Bush, the second George Bush, got about 40% of the Latino vote in 2004. Ali, help us understand this support for Republicans and why it seems to be waning.
Well, I think what Gabriel said was right, that it's a whole compendium of issues that the Latino community really cares about, and on those issues, the Latino community does trust the Democrats to do better on them. And you know, President Obama seems to understand this. Last night at the candidates forum, when he was talking about education, when he was talking about healthcare and other issues that were not immigration reform, he really went to great pains to paint a contrast between himself and Mitt Romney on these issues. And he, in fact, appealed to Latino voters directly and said, look, these are the issues that you care about. And I am, you know, I'm behind these issues. I'm committed to pursuing these issues in the way that you support.
Mm. Gabriel, I ran across a quote from Ronald Reagan saying that Latino voters are Republicans. They just don't know it yet. and I thought that was interesting coming from Ronald Reagan. Maybe that tells us something about the Republican Party in the 1980s and where it stands today. Gabriel?
Well, I think so. I mean, that has long been the myth, that Latino voters, particularly in regards to social policies, are very conservative. It's often labeled as politically liberal, socially conservative. And when we're talking about social issues, we're really talking about abortion, gay marriage, and the like. We've actually run some data on this at Latino Decisions, and we asked Latino voters directly, you know, when you talk about politics, when you're deciding who you're going to vote for 2012, is it about social issues, or is it about the economy and more domestic policy? And overwhelmingly, and we're talking about like a 2-to-1 margin, Latino voters are saying it's about the economy. So those issues that played out very well for George W. in terms of resonating with Latino voters just aren't relevant right now. I think when the economy is as bad as it is, particularly for Latinos who have seen their unemployment and underemployment numbers hover well above the national average, people just aren't thinking about those issues when they go to the ballot box. And I think that's the trouble with relying on that, what I would refer to as somewhat of an old school strategy to try to court Latino voters. It's just not going to work in this particular political climate.
But do you think it's a different Republican Party as well? Ronald Reagan was able to institute some kind of immigration reform.
Well, I think, you know, like many of my fellow pundits and political analysts have been saying, you know, you've got multiple Republican parties right now. You've got some of that tie over from the Reagan era. You've also got the extreme, Tea Party movement that I think has really pushed the party in a direction that they really didn't want to go in, particularly in the context of immigration reform. I mean, people forget about this, but former President Bush, comprehensive immigration reform was his primary policy issue agenda in his first term that he wanted to accomplish. You know, 9/11 happened, swung things in a different direction, but people forget that he was a major advocate for comprehensive immigration reform. So I think the Republican Party has moved significantly, particularly on immigration, and that's posed significant problems for them in trying to get any Latino outreach.
Ali, we heard the president at the Univision Forum saying, you know, in a sense, it's not my fault. I mean, there were problems I had to deal with, and I also had to deal with Republicans that blocked me on immigration reform. Do you think that Latino voters will forgive him for that, if I can use that word?
Well, I do think that Latino voters, like most American voters, recognize the difficulty of getting legislation passed in our political system, right? And a big applause line for Obama was when he had acknowledged that, yes, in fact, one of his biggest failures was to not pass immigration reform, but that's why he's running for a second term, mm-hmm. right? And Gabriel can speak more to the polling data, but certainly Latino voters attribute, for example, the poor state of the economy to the previous administration rather than to Obama. So I suspect there's a similar sense for immigration reform.
And Gabriel, you want to take that?
Yeah, I mean, I'll start with the immigration issue. I mean, the beautiful thing about working for a polling firm is we have data to speak to just about any question. And in the context of the immigration issue, back in June of 2011, we asked Latino voters directly, you know, we've seen that comprehensive immigration reform has not happened. Who do you blame? Did Obama not push hard enough on that issue, or did Republicans block it? And our data, national survey of Latino voters at that time, indicated that 50% of Latino voters thought it was because Republicans blocked it and got in the way, and about a third of Latino voters, 33%, were saying that Obama didn't push it hard enough. Mm-hmm. So my read on that is, you know, there's plenty of blame to go around. I don't think Latino voters are going to completely let President Obama off the hook for that. You saw the tough questions in the forum yesterday. I think that reflects the kind of lack of enthusiasm and somewhat skeptical attitude that Latino voters have about that issue with the president, but also they recognize it's a divided power system, and the Republicans have just as much, if not more, to do with it, than the president does. So I think that kind of reflects where the population is on that issue. Same as Ali noted in the context of economics, you know, overwhelmingly Latino voters are saying they blame the former President Bush and the Republicans for the state of economy much more so than they do the president. 56%, for example, blame partisan fighting, and the Republicans, only 20% blame Obama for the state of the economy. So I think these issues are just tough to gain traction if you're Romney, because Latino voters are pretty savvy and they have, long memories when it comes to these policy issues.
And that's Gabriel Sanchez. He's associate professor in political science at the University of New Mexico, also the director of research for Latino Decisions. That's a leading survey firm focused on the Latino population. Also with us, Ali Valenzuela, assistant professor of politics and Latino studies at Princeton University. And both President Obama and Governor Romney were courting Latino voters this week. And that's why we're doing this show. And we want to hear from you at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Of course, we know we're talking about a very diverse population, but a growing and more influential population, I would say, in the country. Again, 1-888-477-9499. Gabriel, let me go back to you. Do you see any division between Latino voters and Latina voters? Do you see a gender gap?
Yeah, there's a pretty significant gender gap. In fact, this last poll that we just finished up last week was really focused on that issue. We asked the Latino population, which party and which candidate do you think is better to push quote-unquote women's issues? And what was interesting is you saw a wide gap, a 65-point advantage for Democrats on that question among Latinas, so female Latino voters. I've been doing polling for quite some time. That's the widest gap I've seen on any policy issue I think that we've ever done. And I think that reflects some of the overall gender gap that you see among the overall electorate. But I think with Latinos, you've got a little nuance where even an issue like immigration, where you might say, where's the gender dynamic to that? You bring in rhetoric like anchor baby and some of these other terms that have been floated around from some Republican candidates. And I think Latinas are a little more sensitive to saying, wait a minute, are they really talking about immigration, or are they starting to filter into things that specifically alienate women? And so across the board, whether we're talking about support for the president, favorability towards the president, policy issues, whatever we're talking about, we're basically seeing at least a 10 percentage gap between Latino males and female Latinos, Latinas. So I think that's pretty significant.
That's interesting. How about the issue of contraception? Does that play, or is that not as important as some of these immigration issues?
Well, I think in terms of policy salience, it's not going to overtake the economy or immigration among Latinas. But mm-hmm. what you do see, just like we're reflected in the overall electorate, the Republican Party has made some major missteps in some of the language that they've used and the approach that they've taken on that issue. And you've seen a major movement of all women voters, and particularly among the Latino population, moving towards the Democrats and Obama in terms of trust on those issues. So I think it's one of those that's reflective of the overall population. You just have a little bit of a different nuance among of the Latino community.
Ali, let me pick up on that and about use of language, anchor babies, illegals. Speaking again broadly, is that offensive to Latino voters?
I think it is. Like I mentioned before, I think it does reflect a lack of sensitivity about the concerns of this community, and that tends to translate into ideas about which of the parties is going to be committed to pursuing policies that this community cares about. You know, Obama took great care to talk about Latinos last night in terms of not having documents, right, about being undocumented, and he takes great pain not to use terms like illegal alien, which, again, Mitt Romney continues to use even when he's in front of Latino audiences.
What do you think, Gabriel? And then we'll get to our callers.
Yeah, I mean, the symbolism matters. I mean, when you use that kind of inflammatory language, you know, one indicator of this is we've asked the Latino electorate several times in our surveys, do you believe that there's an anti-immigrant and anti-Latino political climate? And overwhelmingly, Latinos, regardless of their nativity status, folks that have been in terms of their family in the U.S. for four or five generations, they all are feeling that somewhat anti-Latino rhetoric when it comes to immigration. I think that's what's pushing it, the symbolism. Even a lot of people say, well, why would a Latino who's born in the U.S. and speaks primarily English care? Well, it's because of that, the climate.
Let me get, looks like Stephanie from Reading to join our conversation. And Stephanie, go ahead, you're on Radio Times.
Hi. I grew up in Miami, Florida, and worked in Democratic politics in Florida for a long time. And so I'm so happy you guys are having this conversation.
Great.
And I'm so happy that we finally are appreciating Hispanic voters for their importance in making the decisions and bringing them to the table and highlighting them. All I wanted to say was I just personally feel that I get really upset when we talk about the Latino community as one, because in Miami there tends to be very wealthy South Americans and Cubans who tend to vote primarily with, or at least in my experience, have been conservative in terms of their economics. And then there tends to be the poor blue-collar Hispanics that tend to be more liberal. And I'm talking like some, and I even hate to say like Cubans tend to be wealthy and Mexicans tend to be poor, because even then there's a huge diversity. So I just wanted to say that, and I was curious about the polling in terms of socioeconomics within the Latino community.
Stephanie, thanks for the call to Radio Times. And I heard a little knowing laugh from you, Gabriel. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, that it's extremely important that we recognize when we're talking about Latinos, we're talking about 22 different national origin groups, some folks who speak predominantly Spanish, other folks who don't know a word of Spanish, major distinctions in terms of socioeconomic status. But what I would say is, you know, if you go to Latino Decisions, our webpage, you break down our polls, we always show the distinctions in any question by socioeconomic status, age, in some context, region, because region's important, right? We're talking about right. Florida, where these events were held yesterday. That's got a much different flavor to it than if we're talking about the Southwest or the Rocky Mountain West and the Latino population out here that tends to be a much more Mexican origin. So your caller is exactly right. You have to be very sensitive to the fact that we're really talking about an extremely diverse population. Sometimes us political, you know, hacks, we make generalizations, let's say, about women voters. Well, you know, just like anybody else, women make up about, what, 53% of the population. There's obviously not one total opinion or one size fits all that's going to drive Latinos like we would talk about with women or African American voters or anybody else.
Interesting. You refer to yourself as a political hack.
I might be getting old. Been doing this a little while.
Ali, anything you want to add to that?
Sure. I mean, I wanted to say that Stephanie is exactly right to note socioeconomic differences and how that is related to candidate preferences and conservative or liberal ideology. Among the American electorate in general, higher income tends to be associated with more conservative viewpoints and votes for the Republican Party. And it's no different among the Latino community, right? So wealthier Latinos tend to support Republican candidates.
Let me see what Felix from New Jersey has to say. Felix, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi. Well, as I told you, I am a Latino. I have been in this country. I celebrate my 52nd year in 3 weeks from now here in the United States. I became a U.S. citizen in uniform with five ribbons across my chest. And the insulting rhetoric and points of view getting from the Republican side, and we're going to electrify the fence, we're going to shoot people trying to come across, fill it with alligators. It's come to the point that when I travel, instead of just bringing a driver's license with me, I feel forced to bring my passport to show, yo, I have a very Latin name. I have an extremely Latin name. I am a citizen of this country. Please treat me with respect. It's gotten to that point whereby I shouldn't feel any reason for paranoia, but it's there, it's real, it is experienced. They keep insulting people, they keep putting fear into them, they keep paying them the wrong way. Why would anybody get close to that?
Well, Felix, I appreciate your call to Radio Times. And actually, Gabriel, let me give you about a minute before our break here, but I'd be curious what you say back to Felix. Go ahead, Gabriel.
Well, I think Felix's attitude reflects the overall dynamics we've seen in our polling numbers. So if you look at Latinos' attitudes towards immigration policy over the last decade, we've seen a major movement on Latinos moving to the left and being more liberal on immigration policy. About 10 years ago, there was a pretty balanced, almost a 50-50 split among Latinos about immigration. A lot of people don't remember that. But as this rhetoric and tone has really moved extremely right and really been couched in an anti-Latino rhetoric, I think a lot of Latino voters reflect kind of Felix's sentiments. Even if I'm a U.S. citizen, and even if I don't speak Spanish, even if my family's been here forever, there's still a high likelihood that I'm going to be harassed because I look like an immigrant. And I think that's what's moved Latinos on this issue and moved it also from the back of the pack in policy salience to being neck and neck with the economy down the stretch is one of the most important issues Latino voters care about.
Well, I want to pick up on that, but we need to take a very short break. Felix, thanks for the call to Radio Times. Thanks for your service as well. Give us a call, 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY, talking about the diverse and important Latino vote with Ali Valenzuela from Princeton University, Gabriel Sanchez from the University of New Mexico. Stay with us. Much more to talk about after this short break. We'll be right back.
The theater at Raritan Valley Community College supports WHYY and presents An Evening with Fran Lebowitz, Saturday, September 29th at 8 p.m. The cultural satirist and chronicler of the Me Decade will offer insights on timely issues such as gender, race, gay rights, and the media, as well as her own pet peeves including celebrity culture, tourists, and strollers. Tickets and more information to An Evening with Fran Lebowitz online at rvccarts.org.
I'm Robin Young. Join us next time for the news and these stories here and now. Are you a moocher? Well, let's see. Do you eat government-subsidized cereal or wear T-shirts made from government-subsidized cotton? We'll take a look. Also, football at West Point, where the players are always soldiers first. That's Public Radio's Daily Digest of news and culture here and now.
Today at noon on WHYY.
Thomas Jefferson University School of Population Health supports WHYY and offers a fully accredited master's degree in public health. An open house will be held Thursday, September 27th in the Blumley Life Sciences Building, 233 South 10th Street. Registration by phone, 215-503-0174, or online at jefferson.edu. The Jefferson School of Population Health, committed to bringing health and healthcare together.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. And if you're just joining us, I'm talking with Ali Valenzuela, Assistant Professor of Politics and Latino Studies at Princeton University, and with Gabriel Sanchez. He's Associate Professor in Political Science at the University of New Mexico, also the Director of Research for Latino Decisions. That's a leading survey firm focused on the Latino population, our topic for today's Radio Times. And we do have calls coming in at 1-888-477-9499. Let me get Rick from South Philadelphia to join us. Rick, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. I have a question, and I just wish someone could explain this to not only me, but the rest of the American public. When someone uses the term illegal alien, and your host, your guest mentioned about that being defamatory, I wonder why that is. If you're in this country without the proper documentation, then you are breaking the law, so you are illegal. You're not here legally. You don't have the right documentation. I just wondered why, you know, when someone breaks the law, why can't you say that they are an illegal alien?
Rick, it's a good question. Gabriel, let me toss that first to you, and then Ali, I'll toss it to you.
Well, I mean, I think the caller makes a good point, because for a lot of Americans, this is what it comes down to. It's like a law and order issue, right? It's not really a question of ethnicity for a lot of folks. They say, well, what's the big deal? They entered the country illegally by definition. You know, they've committed in some cases a felony. Well, the important thing to understand, and I think this is what is difficult for folks to realize, is that for a lot of Latino voters, this isn't just a public policy issue. It's a personal one. We found that over half of the Latino electorate, so all registered voters, likely voters, know somebody personally in their family or close friend that's undocumented. About 25% know somebody who's been deported over the last 2 years. So when you look at that data, it's important to realize that for a lot of Latinos, you know, what language you use and the policy discussions, it's not just a policy issue. It's very personal. And I think when that happens, you know, you bring in emotions to it and a word that in some sense, you know, illegal alien doesn't seem like an ethnically charged term, but for a lot of folks who know people who've been deported, it really strikes a personal chord with them. And I think that's the distinction that we're talking about with these particular terms in this policy area.
Ali, is it the illegal part or the alien part or the two together?
I think it's the two together, perhaps. But part of the issue too is that many, many undocumented Latinos who are here today arrived here, came here not by their own choosing, right? I'm referring specifically to younger Latinos who were brought over by their parents, for example, right? And to group these same and to call these undocumented immigrants illegal aliens is particularly offensive, especially when so many of these young folks are enrolled in higher education or have gone on to enroll in higher education to contribute productively to our society, right? And so when we're painting with the same brush this group of Latino undocumented immigrants with, undocumented immigrants who perhaps have criminal records or what have you, that's when it becomes problematic, right? When we're not being sensitive to the distinctions between different subgroups.
Rick, thanks for the call to Radio Times. Let me ask you both about the DREAM Act, as it is called, and I'll go back to you, Gabriel Sanchez. I'm assuming there's a lot of support for the DREAM Act. Do you think there is support in Congress to try to come to some kind of agreement on allowing those who are here, quote-unquote, under, you know, no fault of their own, getting a college degree, joining the military, and then giving them some route to immigration, route to legal status as a citizen? Do you think there's consensus in the U.S. Congress to do that?
I think it's moving somewhat in that direction, but it's such a politically charged issue that I think we're not likely to see any major action from Congress until the election cycle finishes up. I mean, a lot of people focus all their energy right on the presidential race, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of members of Congress up for re-election, a lot of senators up for re-election, and I think they're somewhat worried or gun-shy to touch this particular issue because, as your callers reflect, right, this is pretty bipolar in terms of the distribution of attitudes on this. You've got, among the Latino population, overwhelming support for the DREAM Act. Even among Latino Republicans, we see a majority of those folks are supportive of the DREAM Act. But among other segments of the Republican Party base, it's not as popular. So I think it's moving in that direction. I think this could be the first step towards more of a discussion of comprehensive immigration reform. But I think Republicans in Congress are going to have to lax on their efforts to try to prevent the president from having any policy victories in order for that to happen.
What do you think, Ali?
I think that's exactly right. And, you know, frankly, the DREAM Act to me it's more than just an issue about immigration, right? This is actually an issue about the economy and jobs, right? Why would we want to continue to deny productive productive individuals who are here in the United States, who, you know, have acquired a college degree, who have served to protect us in terms of the military, right? We're denying their incorporation into our economic system by not providing some kind of path or means to legal status. And so, you know, while it's certainly an important issue in terms of immigration, I would argue that it's also just an equally important issue in terms of jobs in the economy.
Yeah, I saw an article in the New York Times this week. I'll just quote the first sentence. The White House has ruled that young immigrants who will be allowed to stay in the United States as part of a new federal policy will not be eligible for health insurance coverage under President Obama's health care overhaul. I did not know that, I have to say, when I read that. Gabriel, your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I've been studying Affordable Care Act and its implications for Latinos for a couple of years now, and that's one thing that the president, I think, was really pushed on pretty aggressively among Latino voters and Latino elites is, look, in the context of Affordable Care Act, there's still going to be a lot of Latinos that are not going to be covered, and that's really what we're talking about is the undocumented population that can't even buy into the state exchanges with their own money. And I think Ali's point that a lot of this spills over into economics, that's one to me that just does not make a lot of fiscal sense, right? You're still going to have a lot of folks out there that are vulnerable because they don't have access to health insurance. I think from an economic perspective, it makes more sense to allow them to buy in with their own money like everybody else because it brings down the cost for everybody, and you're not going to have to treat these folks in the emergency room when they have a full-blown heart attack. Deal with it on the preventative side by allowing them to buy into health insurance like everybody else would. So I think it's important that you bring that up because a lot of folks don't realize you're still going to have a lot of folks that are not able to be covered because of their immigration status.
But allowed to stay in the United States but not allowed to access the health care system.
Correct. So they're still going to be here potentially, and they're still going to be seen by doctors, right, particularly in the context of the emergency room, but they're not going to have access to health insurance. And the important distinction is we're not talking about free, you know, government-provided health insurance, even being able to buy into the state exchanges with their own money. I think that's where a lot of folks scratch our head and say that just does not make sense from a policy perspective.
I do want to go back to the phone. So, Ali, anything you want to add to that?
Not on that particular issue.
Okay, fair enough. Let me get some more callers in at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY, talking about the growing influence of Latino voters and talking with Ali Valenzuela and Gabriel Sanchez, and 1-888-477-9499. Let me get Louis from Bridgeport to join our conversation. Louis, go ahead. You're on the air. You're on the air.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I was talking to my side about the two candidates, President Obama and Romney. I would say, you know, that President Obama is more in touch with the people. He understands how this country is built from a different group of people, not only Latinos, but also other group of people. And all what we're doing is trying to build the country and lift it up, kind of like everybody should go up at the same time. Instead of Brownie thinks that rich will make the poor better, but that they tried already that. They what they did is invest the money in China or some other country, because they don't want to pay the labor that they have to pay here in the United States.
Well, Louis,
and that's one of the reasons why we are in this situation, too, because all the factories are in other countries. Most of the factories are not here. So how can we make money if we don't have ways to make money?
Okay, fair enough. I appreciate the call to Radio Times. Obviously, a supporter for President Obama, Gabriel Sanchez. Does he sound like the supporters who answer your survey?
Yeah, I mean, I think the one important indicator that picks up that vibe among a lot of our survey respondents is the favorability question, which basically comes down to, you know, do you really like the candidate? Do you see them as favorable? This last poll, we have Romney at his lowest point on favorability among Latino voters at only 24%. And I think a lot of it reflects the attitude of your caller, where folks just don't trust them. Particularly one question we asked is, do you think that Romney should have to share more of his own personal tax statements? Mm-hmm. And overwhelmingly, Latino voters are saying, yeah, why doesn't he just share them, right? Because I think that leads to this sentiment of lack of trust and just don't see him as a very likable person. So that's you know, problematic. We've seen a lot from Romney. We know a little bit more about him. And I think for Latino voters, they just don't trust or just don't like what they're hearing. And that's going to be a problem for him going down the home stretch.
Ali, let me ask you about some of these new voter ID laws. Pennsylvania is still, the court is still deciding on that law, but nonetheless, they have been instituted across the country. What do you think the impact could or would be or will be on Latino voters? Obviously, knowing that many are here legally, but maybe have a hard time getting their hands on documents, for instance.
That's right. I think these voter ID laws have the potential to disproportionately impact the Latino community, and so there is great concern that they will in fact depress turnout among this group. You know, and my view is that these sorts of laws contribute to the same sort of hostile environment that your caller Felix brought up, for example, right, where legal citizens are going to vote or attempt to vote, go to vote, and they're questioned about whether they're in fact qualified to do so. And you know, and I just wanted to comment for a minute about this and how it's related to you know, a previous period in recent electoral history. Right, in California in the 1990s, the Republican Party pursued a whole series of statewide proposition ballots that polls also show were broadly interpreted as anti-immigrant and anti-Hispanic. Right, and the consequences of those particular policies were that Latino voters in California moved decisively towards the Democratic Party, and in fact decided to naturalize and become citizens at much higher rates, to register to vote, and to turn out to vote at much higher rates than either native-born Latinos in California or Latinos in other states where these policies were not implemented. Right, so we have really good evidence that this sort of rhetoric, that these sort of hostile climate for Latino voters has a profound political impact, because as we know, in California, the Republican Party has been out of at least out of the legislative power for many years now.
Let me go back to you, Gabriel, and even look at turnout in 2008. And I was looking at the Pew Hispanic Center. 66% of whites registered voters voted. 65% of registered black voters voted in 2008. And for Latinos, it was about 50%. What do you think explains that disparity?
Well, I think a lot of it is just socio-demographic. People don't realize this, but Latinos are over 10 years younger on average than white voters are. And, you know, if you're not familiar with this, young voters of any racial and ethnic group, 18 to 24-year-olds, are the least likely to vote. So when you're dealing with just an overall younger population, the enthusiasm and the likelihood of voting drops. You've got socioeconomic status differences, a lot of different demographic factors that go into that. But I think these voter ID laws have a suppression effect as well. You know, in the context of Pennsylvania, I actually know a little bit about this. I co-wrote one of the expert witness reports for the state of Pennsylvania's voter ID case. And one of the things that we saw is not only does it have a direct impact, right, of folks that might not have the proper identification, which you see a much larger percentage of Latinos and African Americans in that state do not, but it also has this spillover effect where a lot of folks who might have the proper ID say, wait a minute, right, they don't want me to vote. They're trying to suppress the vote. They want to make it more difficult for me to do so. And I think it's important to realize, like any other decision, it's really a kind of an elevation of costs and benefits. You know, what benefit might I have of voting, feeling good about it, maybe my candidate winning. But if they're going to make it more costly, have to go get more forms of identification, I think that also suppresses the likelihood of a lot of these more vulnerable voters, particularly low education, low income folks, that these extra steps are more burdensome for that population. I think that also has an impact.
A couple minutes before we have to say goodbye here, Ali, we've been talking about this disparity of support between Obama and Romney, but I wonder how strong is the support for Obama? And we were talking about some of the criticisms of the deportation policy. He was questioned pretty hard about the lack of progress on immigration reform. Do you think this will depress turnout because there isn't the kind of enthusiasm perhaps there was 4 years ago?
That's certainly part of the equation in terms of Latino turnout, enthusiasm for the candidate, and there is evidence that Obama's policies on immigration and deportations has, in fact, depressed Latino enthusiasm for the election and for the president himself. But, you know, I also wanted to make a point about turnout and how that's related to campaigning, right? So there's lots of evidence that shows that groups of voters, individual voters, will go out to vote in much higher numbers if they're asked to vote, right? If they're not asked to vote, they typically will not go, or certainly marginal voters, right? Voters that are on the cusp of whether they think it's beneficial for them to go out and vote or not, right? So those voters who are not targeted tend to stay home. And of course, as we know, presidential and other campaigns, they tend to target high propensity voters. In other words, voters who have a history of voting on a regular basis. Now, of course, the Latino community, as you pointed out, has a history of lower voter turnout than whites or other groups, right? And so what that means is that campaigns typically do not do the kind of micro-targeting and the hard work of door-to-door canvassing and phone banking to these population groups that live in these areas that have depressed turnout. Mm-hmm. So there, what happens is we end up with a vicious cycle where these low communities, these low turnout communities, are not targeted by campaigns, and so they never get asked to vote, and so they don't think that their vote makes any difference, and they stay home on election day, right? So one of the best things that individuals, volunteers, and campaigns can do to help change this pattern is to, in fact, ask them to go and vote.
Well, on that note, my thanks to both of you for joining us today on Radio Times. Ali Valenzuela, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And he's an assistant professor of politics and Latino studies at Princeton University, joined us from their studios. Gabriel Sanchez, thank you very much as well.
Great talking with you. Nice. Good conversation.
Good conversation for us as well. He's associate professor in political science at the University of New Mexico, director of research for Latino Decisions. Go to whyy.org/radiotimes to find out more about this program. You can send us an email, follow us on Twitter, check us out on Facebook. I'm Marty Moscowen. Thank you so much for joining us in this first hour of Radio Times. Stay with us. We'll be right back.